Thank you very much for coming. I just want a minor correction. I'm a program director in the Health Communication and Informatics Research Branch, still at NCI, but I've left my postdoc about 2 years ago. And also, I want to say, for those of you who read the abstract in, you know, specific detail, you'll see that we've diverged slightly from what we had originally promised to do, which was to use social media to inform the development of a funding opportunity announcement, a program announcement. So a lot of what we're doing here is still very much towards that goal of promoting and finding a way to really define the research priorities and the questions needed to be answered at the intersection of social media and health communication. But you'll see a lot of this is kind of showing you some of the groundwork that we think is necessary, essential for us to put a strong case forward to the NIH leadership and to really justify such funding opportunity. And I wanted to also thank Brian Keefe, sitting in the back, for helping with this presentation. And no disclosure, no relationship to disclose. So just click on the left. Okay. So basically, I have four goals in the limited time. One is to very quickly discuss social media characteristics and where we think the connection to health and health communication lies. And then I'll very briefly highlight two activities at NCI that uses Web 2.0. And then I think here's the part that I hope you'll find useful, a discussion of the current evidence and impact of social media on health communication. So we're writing a narrative synthesis, a paper that's close to finishing, not as complete as Russ's review, but something that we're hoping to really capture what's out there, how is it measured, what counts as success when it comes to social media. And that seemed to be the buzzword at this year's APHE, obviously. So I hope this will give you something to think about and for us to discuss. And lastly, obviously, what does it mean for us to think about where the future of this type of research goes? So obviously, we have to first have a good definition of Web 2.0 and social media. Obviously, there are so many different ways to define it and different characteristics, from openness, participation, to user-generated content. But I think this graph kind of summarizes it well. So traditionally, we think about health communication as kind of one-to-many. We have some message, we send it out, whether it could be a static website, a CD-ROM, or different types of things. But now we really think about the idea of engaging with the community and the input, user-generated content, social, therefore the participative nature of communication. So I thought this quote summarizes what really differs from between Web 1.0 and 2.0. It's the interactivity that engages with a broader social milieu. So quickly, what are some of the key ways of measuring social media? So obviously, in public health, we always talk about we need to reach people where they live, work, and play. So obviously, we have a lot of evidence that people are doing all those things on social media. Some of the measures include internet penetration. Right now, the current data from Pew shows about 75 to 79% of U.S. Adults reported having internet, right, regular internet access. That's already very different from when we did our HINTS 2007, that was 69%. And for broadband adoption, that's another important measure. Mobile technology, obviously, is a huge component of the way we think about social media, because you can reach people right, you know, where we all are, right next to us. Some of the Pew data look at internet adoption, and we can see, oops, sorry, how do I go back? 65% of U.S. adult internet users across age, if you kind of collapse all the age categories, internet users would report using social media. And we know that age is the primary driver. So if you think about social kind of how do you characterize it, the group of social media users, obviously age is very important. I was told repeatedly, and I'm surprised you've never seen an odds ratio of 44 anywhere in the EPI study, but if you compare age group 18 to 24 to those 65 and over, that's the baseline group, the younger groups are up to 44% more likely to be engaged in social media participation, according to HINTS 2008 data. What's really also exciting, I think, for this APHA audience, everybody immediately thinks about issues of digital inequities or digital divide. We have evidence that the divide may be narrowing. So there are two pieces to it. We know that internet access is still very much associated with all these characteristics from younger age, being non-Hispanic wide, being more educated, living in a city or metropolitan residency, and better health. But at the same time, once you control for internet access, we don't see any of the usual suspects, sort of, you know, SES, being at all predicting social media participation. And this is confirmed in several different surveys. So basically, we still have issues with internet access, but once we control for internet access, social media seem to be holds a great deal of potential for narrowing that divide. And this is one of the analysis done from HINTS 2008 data, where we don't see any racial and ethnic differences across the four ethnic groups among internet accessing adults. This is a logistic regression results, and you can see the variables we've adjusted for. And Pew data finds the same, confirms that social media usage, really there's little difference across race and ethnicity. In terms of the more active use, thinking about the future of Web 2.0 and health, obviously we need better communication practice. A lot of this data is challenging health communicators to think about rigorous assessment, what is really new and, if you will, disruptive innovations, and to think about the impact on outcomes and how do you even measure that given how ubiquitous social media is. And how can we think about leveraging or harnessing the power of participative media to influence health-related attitudes, perceptions, and behavior? These are sort of the big questions. So quickly, I'll just mention two efforts at NCI that is really helping us think about how social media is used. How many people have heard of GEM, Grid-Enabled Measure Database? So this is one of our efforts at the Division of Cancer Control and Population Sciences that's trying to bring a virtual community of scientists using technology to inform survey development across different types of health-related surveys so we have better standardized measures. So the impetus behind it, obviously, is we know from wisdom of masses, participation, collaboration, and data sharing. And I want to mention that during this conference, GEM is doing usability testing on their website. If you're interested in being one of the participating in, please see Brian. Brian, can you raise your hand? I was told to put in a plug for GEM. So please go to the exhibit booth. What's the number?
5081.
Okay, 5081, and see Brian, and you can participate in this exciting development. And I've asked the GEM team to reflect on some of the challenges, because obviously a lot of these are really still experiments in action. So here are some of the ones they've listed. Lack of clear incentives for people to really stick around and participate. And the overall culture can't be transformed overnight. So there's how do you change from this independent work to thinking about a collective intelligence in research. And also thinking about how do we do real participation and collaboration. And the second effort is from our division as well, from the Health Communication Informatics branch. This is our Informatics for Consumer Health website. The idea is to bring together providers, consumers, and also IT developers to stimulate behavior research, and we have several different mediums where this ICH platform also lives to promote collaboration. And also the team listed some of the current challenges, and I should say and give you an update that we're sort of really rethinking a lot of the efforts and trying to think how can we more efficiently get using this platform to really get at what we want, rather than a lot of times we still end up being a static content provider, which we do a lot of work in, but it's harder to really engage. So that engagement is really, I think, the biggest piece of the puzzle. And so the last piece, and I think this is really exciting, is we're starting to do a lot of reading and studying and thinking about what are the evidence of the impact of social media on health promotion. I should say that in this case, the horse has left the barn, because if you look at your iPhone for apps, or you look at anything health promotion based, you know, whether it's apps, social media, Facebook sites, they're already out there. A lot of real life practice. I don't know if that would count as T4 or T5. It's already happening. Not necessarily with great evidence, but that's what already people are doing. So obviously, I don't see it as our job to say, oh, that's not evidence-based and leave it at that. But I think now we need to really catch up as scientists to think about what are the evidence? What do we know? What type of studies have been undertaken? What are the intervention design? What do they look like? And what type of media platforms are being used? And who are the target audience? Going back to the issue of the digital divide, how much of the applications or the interventions are targeting, you know, disparities communities? And lastly, what are the target health areas? So we found that originally we thought, oh, we're going to really only do kind of either not RCT, but at least intervention studies. But we found that to be both unrealistic and not really reflective of what is being published. And this is really, you remember just a few months ago, we have mushrooms everywhere, you know, after a big rain. It's like the last literally 6 months, there's a giant growth, rapid growth of literature published on this area of social media. And so we wanted to capture really what's out there. So we divided up what we found into three groups: commentaries on the promises of social media to expand reach and enhancement. And secondly, and I'm really a believer of doing more of this, observational and descriptive studies to see what are people talking about, what are they doing on social media, and when they discuss health, what do they talk about? And lastly, intervention studies that's really starting to evaluate the feasibility, usability, and effectiveness of these different campaigns and communication efforts. Of the commentaries, I would say that would be capturing quite a bit of the literature. We don't have the number yet. We're really starting to get at the tables and the details. But here are some of the main kind of characteristics that's being promoted, from improving reach to low cost, and the fact that you can be so much more, you know, tailored and personalized message, and also connection to digital divide. And a lot of people talk about the difficulties in measurement and privacy and confidentiality concerns. In terms of observational studies, we have a really gigantic table in our manuscript that we're trying to find a way to represent, but I just want to give you a sense of what we found. We divide up health areas very broadly into prevention and promotion and disease management for people, you know, suffering from certain illnesses, and the different types of data. So basically, what are participants saying about health? And I just want to highlight the Steinberg et al. Article, which in light of the current controversy on PSA testing was quite interesting. They had a PSA or prostate cancer experts, doctors, I think, representing different specialty areas, rate YouTube videos related to PSA testing and see what type of message is out there. And what they found was, I think 100% of what they found were promoting more. So more screening, more treatment, and we didn't see any of that balanced picture. It's really your right to get screened. Don't let them stop you. So that was a very interesting takeaway, thinking about what social media, you know, what people are saying on social media. Thank you. In terms of the next level up, departing from kind of just general what are people doing, we look at feasibility studies. And the question is really, is social media an appropriate venue? So we have website interventions, but what is extra? What is that participative side look like? And would it be an appropriate for various different health outcomes and disease areas? And so here are some of the ways we look at feasibility outcome. For purpose of time, I won't be able to summarize everything, but it ranges from, you know, is it acceptable, design features. So in the Ralph et al., they ask participants, are you willing to be contacted by a health clinic who want to provide sexual health information through a Facebook group? Would you accept that, you know, as a friend or to join such a group? And moving beyond feasibility to really think about usability, here what we're talking about is existing pilots or interventions that are asking people, what aspects of an intervention is useful and how do they like it. And the last one, Jane et al., 2010, look at for youth with end-stage renal disease. They create a very safe forum for youth to tell their stories, have their voices heard, and asking, is this something you find, you know, gratifying, important, useful? And so that was a very interesting study of social networking sites. And then we move on to the last bit, which is really intervention studies, to look at health promotion efforts and assess whether they're working. Moreno et al. Was very interesting. It's Dr. Meg, who kind of joins a Facebook group as Dr. Meg, who kind of lurks and look at kind of risky discussion of, you know, sexual health discussion, and she might, you know, put herself out there to answer questions, but very much not kind of driving the discourse, but be more in the background. So what do we find? What have we found? I think here are a list of sort of summary take-home points. We see very scant empirical evidence on efficacy and effectiveness of these studies, but a lot is emerging very rapidly recently. And obviously we see that just look at prevalence data on social media is not enough, because meaningful health-related activities on social media is very different than I'm on Facebook, per se. So, and also we see that because of the transparency and openness, we have an unprecedented access to data. So we have different ways of doing analysis using innovative measures. You've all heard of network analysis, and I also think ethnography, observational, and also web mining techniques. We're just starting a new study looking at framing of childhood obesity using computational corpus linguistics. So that's very exciting for me to think about new ways to do this type of science. In terms of our priorities, we have to think about the unique functions of participative media, and then testing the different mechanisms, and then ways to think about narrowing the digital divide. And here are some opportunities, including our current FOA under development, and we have a portfolio of research in the area, at least that's growing, and I'll leave it like that. Thank you.